And you might like to open your Bible to Genesis and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that, always looking to you. So deal with us, Spirit of God, take your word in the light of our Lord's saving grace, in the light, Father, of your concern. And our Father will thank you very much in all things, even now, for the classes, for the people traveling, people sick, God, people all over. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. So, in our exercise, we shared together last time a little bit about understanding how history outworks itself in the light of their relationship to God, in the light of our relationship to us, the study of the book of Hebrews. And so, in the process, we stopped, and since Hebrews is about the Old Testament becoming very real and vital in the person of our Lord. So we looked at the law. Where does the law? I need to understand the law. The law helps me understand history. So we took a moment to look at that. And I forgot just what we did or didn't do, but let me remind you what we might have done. How's that? In Genesis, God created Adam and Eve and gave them a wonderful promise after they had sinned, Genesis 3:15. He gave them that wonderful promise that he would provide a savior. Because of sin, they were kicked out of the garden. Hagar couldn't stay in there, and that's when Cain and Abel were born. And Cain and Abel were in the presence of awesome parents because they just sinned, and their perfection was quite different than ours. And therefore, Cain and Abel are told what they have to do to honor God, the same as their mother and father, to believe in God and by sacrifice, Genesis 3:15, the coats of skin on Adam and Eve, and that tells them that you got to do what you have to do before God. God, very, very God conscious. And so now Cain and Abel do just that. Chapter 4, sacrifices to God. And Cain offers the fruit of the ground. He would not recognize that my mother and father might be guilty, but I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. No, sir. So, therefore he offered that which is the fruit of the ground. And, of course, God said that won't save you. Help you at all. You need to recognize and believe that God provides a wonderful Savior. Now, having said that, so Cain took care of the problem that having to live with his brother who did that which he didn't, so Cain killed him. Now, Cain, what are you going to do? Now, Cain says, all right, God, I got rid of Abel, and you want me to be a wanderer in the face of the earth? I'm not going to do that. So, chapter 4, verse 17, he builded a city. And it's a participle. He's building the city. Remember, we shared it 1,000 times. The city is never built. A city has never been built that answers and replaces God. That's the point. Bring us all together, we'll be able to do everything, overcome everything, etc. So, that's what they do. And so, we have no law. We have a promise. to believe. That's all we have. And we're to be believers, but we don't want to be believers. So Genesis 6, and God comes along, they do evil, chapter 6, verse 5, and all of those things where they do evil continually more and more. What are they doing? They're just disregarding. Like Cain, Cain said, all right for you, God, all right for you. If you don't like it, I'm not going to honor you. And he didn't. He just did nothing except everything apart from God. Genesis 6, the whole crowd is doing the same thing. They aren't doing the law. They're just following Cain. And you know they're following Cain. Hang on. Because they do evil continually, God has the Genesis flood, verse chapter 7 and 8, etc. And the Genesis flood comes, and Noah and his three sons come out of that, and their wives. And coming out of it, what do they know? Well, they already know. They've already been through all of this history. So they know. They need to honor God. And Genesis 8, 21 and that, God goes and says they do evil now continually from their youth. I'll do that just for the sake of doing it. Chapter 8 and in verse 21. And the Lord smelt the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil. Now note, from his youth, it never goes away. It just doesn't go away. Evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite everything living as I have done. In other words, I'm not going to reproduce the Genesis flood. So here's Noah and his sons. There's no law. They're very conscious. They need to believe God. And they go along and grows people. And the people know, but what do I know? If you make believe we're all back there. We already know we came out of the flood. We already know why there's just us people and not the rest of them, because God judged them. There's no question about God judging them. No question about it. The earth, everything's different. So as we look and all of that, being at all different, but we don't want the Genesis flood. God said he wasn't going to do it. And since we do evil continually, and we're thinking like that, God, what about God? We're a little further away from God now, as we've gone down the corridor of time. We're a little further away from God. So now, what are we going to do? Genesis 11, we're going to what? They build, Genesis 11, 1 through 9, they build a tower and a city. They always had cities. They never had towers to get to God. We got to add to the system of our city, and we need to have religion. We need to have, we need to do something. We need to do something. In the light of God, who just as Genesis flood took us all. We need to do something. So we got to do something. So they built the tower, religious system, up went the tower, etc. We're going to build a tower, understandably, and we built the tower, and we're building the tower, process of building it. And God, of course, Genesis 11, and picking up that little bit, it may help us. In verse 6, 11, 6, and the Lord said, looking at the tower in the city, behold, the people is one, they have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. In other words, they're on, they're set again, to do Genesis 6, only this time with a tower religion system. We're going to reach God, reach up to God. We're going to do all of this again. We're going to repeat the whole thing again. And so therefore, Genesis 11, God scattered them. Now they have religion, but the tower, what do we do? We have to do something. God judged the people, and God is looking for something. So we've got to do something. What do we need to do? So they built the tower. You got that? Now you got the do part. Hang on to the do, D-O. Now, slide along. Here comes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're living in a world of do's. Do's. There's believing. Abraham believed God, and what? It was accounted to him for righteousness. Genesis 15:6. Accounted to him for righteousness. So there's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and coming down, and here's Moses. And so coming down to Moses, what do we got? Well, what flavor do they have? They have picked up, they have lived in, and been involved in a whole world system of people that are building cities and towers, having religion. We got politics and religion all over the place. And what is religion? Religion is a do something. Why? Because we've got to do something so we don't get clobbered again with another Genesis flood, as it were. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, Exodus, if you would, and in chapter 19, I want you to see the relevancy as we do it. Connect the dots. It's easy. I think it's easy. If you have the dots. If you don't have the dots, you can't connect them. Exodus chapter 19. Now note, remember, God takes Abraham, Moses and the people of Mount Sinai. He introduces himself, and before he ever gives, there is no law yet, and he tells them the wonderful future they have. And we shared that in verses 4, 5, and 6, chapter 19, that it'd be a special, prized, privileged people like no one on the face of the earth. Chapters 4, 5, and 6. Now, what was their response to God's wonderful, wonderful future and promise? The Genesis 3:15 is sitting there. Verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, what? We will do. Where did you pick up the will do? The whole world will do this and that. We have all kinds of ways, religious systems and ways to towers and things to satisfy somebody somewhere, maybe. I'll count my beads 4,000 times. I'll do that. I'll run around the block 10 times. I'll get whipped as I go up the steps, old Catholic, to purge yourself from sin, going up the steps, you know. Well, do it. It's due. That's not no law yet. We will do. Okay. So, and remember, they're wonderfully consistent in we will do, unfortunately. Now, where does the law comes in? You know, Exodus 20, that's where the law comes in. The law comes in, and what's the law do? The law says you have to do. The law, you have to do. You don't have a choice anymore. You have to do. You want to do, you have to do. That's the law. All the law says, Hebrews, is you have to do. Doesn't give you any power. It just says, do it. That's all. Perform it. Make it happen. That's what you have to do. So all that the law says, we have to do. And so, and to do and not to do. So all of those wonderful things happen. And here's the law. Now, the law is for Israel, as we shared together. The law is for Israel. And Israel, there's nowhere else this law. Got a whole world, but we aren't going to find the law. There's no law. Just the Jews. Why the Jews? Because the Jews asked for it. They asked for it. They had the right to be a special, prized, privileged people, and they chose not to do it. They said, the normal human system, religion, works, we will do. Now, they can't do. That's the law. The law says, you have to do. You have to do it. You have to do it. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and we shared together in the end of Exodus, Deuteronomy, you don't have to do that. Deuteronomy 27, cursed be and all the, if you don't do all these things. In Deuteronomy 27, and the last verse says, if you don't do all of them, cursed are you, all of them. And then we shared in James 2, if you offend in one point, you're what? You're guilty of all. You remember we shared it last time, I do remember that. Remember the mountain? Mount, we got the mountain, the Alps, Mount Everest, 30,000 feet up there, halfway up into the atmosphere. Wow. So we're coming along, the plane hits the halfway point, we all die. The plane, they're all happy because they're up high, but they're here's the top of the mountain, and they're 5 feet down, and the plane hits only 5 feet down. But what? We're all dead. We're all dead. So whether we were halfway up, nowhere up, or the top, we didn't pass the test, we all die. The wages of sin is death. There's no way to overcome it. The law says you do. If you don't do, you have to do it. And if you don't do it, it's a commandment. And without turning there, though you can we'll do that for the sake of keeping you busy. Over to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 5. And you will notice, if I can, in Hebrews chapter 5, you will note in verse 5, for verily they are of the sons of Levi who received the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now, the two things we did, just to pick up the mood, the Levites did and followed the law, the commandments, the law. That's what they do. Why do they do that? Because they have to do it. The law demands they have to do it. That's what the law says. The Samaritans, that includes the ceremonial law, the moral aspects of it, the whole law. It's a relationship to God. You either measure up like on the mountain or you don't. You don't. The whole law. You offend in one point, you offend all. That's the Mosaic law. And they wanted that, Exodus 20. That's what they wanted. They wanted to pursue that. Now, and so therefore, Israel had the law, and they had all that was done, and we shared that in Galatians. Well, you might as well turn there for that one, keep you, even though you know it. Galatians chapter 3. And you will keep in mind, giving you a little better context on it, chapter 3, remember, verse 16. Now to Abraham 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Were the promises made? He saith not unto seeds, plural, but as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant, that's Exodus 20, etc., that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, they wanted the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise, Genesis 3:15, Abraham believed God and counted it for righteousness. What is God looking for? He's looking for you to believe. Believe God. Got to believe he's the Savior, Genesis 3:15. The end, that it should make the promise of none effect. In other words, the law came in, Exodus 20, but the promise was still good. But the Israelites would not believe the promise that was sitting in front of them, Exodus 19, 4, 5, and 6. They would not believe the promise and the awesome privilege they had. They were going to earn something. They were going to work out something. They were going to merit something. That's what they were going to do. So all that he says, God, they're going to do. And they're going to do that. And in the process, that's why they had to eat certain foods, wear certain clothes, get up, go to bed, sacrifices every day, all kinds of things. Why? To remind them that they're there in the presence of God. The law, hang on, let me go a little further in reading. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. The promise doesn't disappear. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It never disappears. Hang on. Verse 19. Wherefore, then, why, serveth the law? What is the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgression, because of sin, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. In other words, why do we have to keep this special people? Because this special people is where the seed of the woman is going to come from the tribe of Judah, which has nothing to do with the priesthood, Levites. He's the tribe of Judah. He's outside of that. So here's the tribe of Judah, and he has to come by way of that. You can't eliminate Israel. You can't do it. You have to keep it, no matter how fumbling it is. You have to keep it. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ hath to be born in Bethlehem, etc., etc., and get saved, be born and die on the cross to save us. So in the process, the law has to keep, verse 19, the middle of the verse, till the seed should come, which is what I'm just trying to share with you, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels and in the hand of a mediator. Now, sliding down to verse 23. What's the purpose of the law again? In verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. In other words, we're Jews. We don't believe. But we're trying to, and we have to keep the law, but we don't. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was a schoolmaster, a jailer, like putting in jail. A schoolmaster, go to school, the old-fashioned school, where you do what you're told, you get spanked, the ruler or something. And your school, everyone, do what you do. Now, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So what is the law? The law is put in there for a moment. It's a temporary thing. It has to be there to keep Israel in place until Christ is born. You got to keep Israel in place till Christ is born. Now, and having said that, now they aren't keeping the law. They aren't doing that. So God, they aren't doing it. They didn't do it. And they were struggling with it sometime, because here's the temple in 70 AD. The book of Hebrews is the temple still out there. And they were sacrificing and doing things. And so the law is there. They're still doing the traditions. It doesn't do any good when we're doing it. We keep the law. We have to do it. Why do we tithe? We have to do it. We have to do it. That's what they have to do. They know they have to do it. It isn't a request. It's a law. And you either keep the law or you don't keep the law. You break the law. You're a lawbreaker. So now, having said that and keeping that, and probably we're off base, but anyway, Romans chapter 10. And you recall, our Lord, remember the seed, till the seed should come, the promise. So you got that part. Add to that now, Romans 10. Our Lord had to be born, Bethlehem, Judea, etc. Now, so therefore, verse 2. For I bear them record, Israel, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Reason, for, F-O-R, for reason. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Until Christ was born, we had to keep the law. Why do you have to keep the law? Because Israel is the custodian, is the source of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Israel has to keep the law. So here's the law. And in the law is this little segment of time, little segment of time. All the world is busy doing what it does. All the nations, they all have the right to choose. They all are doing their cities, their religions. Everyone's doing it. And God is asking one thing out of them, looking for one thing that they believe. In the days going back to Abraham, now that's Job and all those other people that we don't even know about that got saved, but most of the world was not saved. Where did Abraham come from? Abraham came from Ur of Chaldees over there in the Euphrates, etc., where all the pagans were. That's what he was. He was in the middle of idolatry. That's what he lived in. He was born in it. And he looked up into heaven and believed God, and God led him out to get him away from that group. He led him all the way down to Palestine, to Palestine, and bringing him all the way down to Palestine, he brought him there. And in the process, he separated them. But the whole world is pagan. Abraham is going to believe God. The whole world was pagan. Is pagan. What does God want? He's looking for someone to believe. He's only asking for belief. Why? Because he died for the sin of the world. And that's what he's offering them. Because what do you know about your flesh? In 1 Corinthians 1 and all that. How much of your flesh can profit or please God? What can you do easier? What can you do to please God? What could you say in and of yourself apart from believing? How are you going to please God? You can't. You can't do it. It's impossible. That's why the priesthood, that's what we're doing in Hebrews 7. The priesthood. The priest. Everyone has to have a mediator, right? Don't we have to have statues? All idolatry has some statue, right? Some tree, some mountain, some bug, something. Got to have something for a mediator. What did we do in Genesis 11? A tower. We got to have some way to get closer, acceptable to God. That's what we got to do. Wow. Got to get close to God. That's what priesthood. Everyone has them. Romans, don't you have to go to the Duchy without saying all that? You go in a little box and talk to somebody, and I don't want to tell you what that is like, but people do that, do they? All kinds of things. But we need somebody between us. Ah, Hebrews says there is no one. That's the argument. God is making clear there is absolutely no one and nothing between you and God except Christ. He's the Savior. There is no one else. All the priests and all your mediatorships and all the people to pray, all the things that we think we're doing to help, don't. There's only one mediator. Now, having said that, over to Deuteronomy. Going back over there. And in Deuteronomy and chapter 6. And I'm going back and look at the law and coming back again. Here's Deuteronomy chapter 6, picking up, please, if I can, in I'll read verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that purpose you might do them in the land, whether you go to possess it, that purpose thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons, and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. In other words, you want to do the law, then the law says you have to keep doing the law. And it blesses. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. You got to do it. The law says you have to do it. And that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land which floweth with milk and honey. And how are they going to keep the law? They don't. But they're going to understand the law if they, a Sabbath day, the Sabbath days, Sabbath month, Sabbath year, you dress certain ways, you have holiday, feast days, fast days, sacrifices, you do all those things. All those things are keeping you mindful that you're in a system. God's law is keeping you. It doesn't mean your heart's super understanding. It just means you're obedient to keep within the framework of the jail so that you are blessed and God bless them. Now, having said that, verse 3, bloweth with milk and honey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Our Lord, our one is three. So God is a triune God. And in verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And these are the words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. So all of the God's word is to be in their heart. Hang on to that. Now that's what it should be. And so all the things we practice doing, the way we dress, the way we worship, how we sacrifice, and all of those things. We ought to learn the difference between holy and unholy, and etc. Unclean and clean. Now, verse 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them. Thou shalt sit when thou sittest down, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Now, that doesn't give you much freedom. I tell you, you're one busy person trying to be dressed with all the law all the time. And to think about it, that's right. Verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. So, A, you can't put your hand out without seeing the law. You can't see through glasses, because you see through the glasses, you've got to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, keep the law, keep the law. So, between your eyes, as it were, Verse 9, thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and upon thy gates, etc. Now, all of that's what the law. So everyone in the law, your sons, your grandsons, everybody is to understand the law within the framework of the law. And that's what they were to do. And they were to teach that and teach it. Now, the problem, what's the problem? The law is doing what? It's harnessing the heart, their heart. Their heart. Remember what you read in Genesis 8 and 21? Their heart is evil from their youth. The heart never gets better. It just never cures itself. It's the same. Do it another way. Remember what we did with the potatoes. Here's a potato. Here's a little potato. It grows a little bigger. It's always a what? It's always a potato. You with me? It never becomes a beet. It's always a potato. So no matter how long you keep it and it sprouts, it's always a potato. The old sin nature is always your old sin nature. And it never stops. No more than a potato ever changes. Just doesn't stop. Now, the law, what I just read in Hebrews 6, Deuteronomy 6, you need to do all this because your heart. Where's your heart? Chapter 5, right next door. And you'll remember it. The problem with the law, which they knew, what did God said your problem, that's why you got the law, is because, and you'll remember it, verse 29, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But they can't do it. They have no heart. How do I keep a people that have no heart safe? I'm going to keep the law. The law's there to harness them, to keep them in check, so they can't go down the corridor, they can't move, they can't get out. They're locked in. They're locked in. For why? For God has a plan. His son is going to be born out of the tribe of Judah, etc. So, and he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Now, God, what's the jumping way ahead? What did Israel fail to do? They failed to believe. Sliding over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, epic here, in chapter 31. Remember on Wednesday's studies, we've been studying Jeremiah. We are presently in Jeremiah 31. And hopefully before the Lord comes, we will not get to this part of Jeremiah. You got it? It's coming. And we're in Jeremiah. There's a good possibility in the next 3 years we're going to get through Jeremiah 1. Okay. But just in case, Jeremiah, God, what's your wonderful future? Chapter 31 and in verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with them, with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. They didn't. They couldn't honor them. They wouldn't honor it. They went into idolatry. And in idolatry, I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Now verse 33. But this shall be the covenant. What is the difference between Exodus 20 and this? And this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law, where? In their heart. I'm not going to put it on stone. I'm not going to put it on pieces of stone. I'm going to put it in their heart. Do you know the stone, when God engraved it on that stone, and in the ark, up to a point it was kept. In the process, the stone, you could look at the stone 100 years later, and it's still written clearly because it's in the stone. It isn't in parchment or something that could fade. It's in the stone. It's locked in. God, what are you going to do? You gave the Ten Commandments in stone. They didn't go away. No, they didn't. The law never disappeared. The law didn't become bad. No. No, not at all. So therefore, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to put the law in their heart. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it in their heart. I'm going to write it in their heart. So they don't have to think of, write it on the hands and eyes and doorposts. No, it's in their heart. That's millennium. Verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Well, God's going to do that. So how's God? What's the answer, God? We're going to become great people? No. I'm going to do something that you needed to have done originally. You needed to believe me, and I would have given you a wonderful relationship to me, because I'm the lawgiver, he said, and I keep the law. I gave the law. I am the law. And therefore, when you receive me as your Savior, you receive the law, and you have the law in your heart. I'm going to do a wonderful thing for Israel, because they wouldn't believe. They will believe. I'm going to put my law in their heart. They're going to be saved. They're going to be saved. When they're saved, they're going to find God's holy, happy, heavenly law in their heart in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, so we have to choose. So here's all the world. What do they need to do? They need to choose God. They all have their religions. There's no law. There's no law. Nope. And they all have to choose. They have to, whatever religion you got, whatever system you got, don't make any difference. You're going to do it in some way. You've got to believe God like Abraham believed God in spite of the system. So they need to worship the Creator and need to honor God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And they can't keep the law. They can't keep the law. Let me tie that a little better together. Over, if you can, over to Romans. And if I may, Christ is the end of the law, we read, for righteousness to them that believe. Here is Romans in chapter 7 first. Chapter 7. What do we know? Here's Paul. Paul, remember you have, chapter 7. Go back to 5 for a minute. We're going to come. I just give you chapter 5, just a little thought to get it for you. Chapter 5, and in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered, why? That the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So, the law, in other words, if you're driving down East Street, driving down any street, and you drive down the street and you're driving whatever you're doing, driving. If there are no signs, and you drive down the street, obviously you have to pay attention to the road and the houses and everything, and you drive down carefully down the street so that you can make it to where you want to go. And you drive down that street. And you do it. Now, tomorrow when you drive down that street, I put up 5 signs. Don't go over 30 miles an hour. If you go over 30 miles an hour, the fine is double. And I put 5 signs. Now, you drove down it yesterday, what? Free and clear, right? Same street. This time when you drive down, all those signs warn you, don't they? Would it make a difference if I put all those, you saw all those signs, wouldn't it? I don't know, make a difference to me. When you go through a stop sign, don't you? Yeah, if you speed through a stop sign. Jeanette says, that's a stop sign. Okay. Aren't you concerned when you go through a stop sign? I mean, what can I tell you? 4-way intersection. Okay. You have to, well, your concern. So here's the heart, and the law is given to awaken the heart. Remember that Israel was given the promise to be the nation to show how to believe to all the nations. Israel rejected that. They had the law. The law, the God's message didn't change. God's plan didn't change. God had to be consistent and put the law there, gave them the law, bound them into the jail, a school, a box, as it were, to keep the law in order that God would show the nations. All the nations of the world are conscious, especially now, not all of them, about many, 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 many nations, I've always understand historically what? Israel, the Near East, Jerusalem, is the main cause of the problems in the world. That's the main cause. So always the Jews, the centerpiece. Where's the tribulation going to be the centerpiece? Jerusalem. It isn't going to be New York City. It's not going to be Venezuela somewhere. No, it's Jerusalem. That's the whole point. So God, keep the law. So Israel was to be a testimony to all the people. And the law did that. So sin, here's all us people out here in the world, that we don't have the law. We have the right to believe the same as everyone else does. We have the right to believe. We don't have the law. I don't see the signs. But I understand the problem. I understand the problems. I understand my problem, my physical, mental, social, financial, every other kind of thing. We understand that without any law. We don't need a law to understand that. We don't need to have a medical book to understand you don't feel good. Do you? If you feel bad, do you have to go and look at a medical book and says, how do I feel bad? How do I know I feel bad? Don't you know you feel bad without looking it up in a book? Sure you do. You know you feel bad. So the law, we don't need the law to tell us we're bad. We don't need that. We already got that. We already got it. The law just doesn't. Chapter 7. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. And the signs made it so I understood my problem of going down that road. The signs did. The law does that. The law makes it very prominent. Therefore, verse 9, I was alive, I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. The very things that I did, God ended up because I couldn't keep the law. No flesh shall glory in his presence. Hang on to that. Hold that, we're coming right back here. Chapter 8, verse 6, 8 and 6. For they are after the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, fleshly minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, underlined in your mind. But the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity, hostility against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So our old nature can never, which we already said, no flesh shall glory in his presence. Back over to chapter 7. In verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. that was then that which is good made that was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, it isn't the law didn't do anything. It's the sin that did it. It's not the signs. It's my disobedience to the signs. The signs warned me. Signs didn't do anything. The bridge is out. The sign doesn't make the bridge out. The sign just says, danger, the bridge is out. It's going across the bridge that isn't there. That's the problem. Now, so therefore, that I might pay working sin by death, that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful, etc. Now, that's the context for the believer that's waking up, that gets saved. Now, I'll give you another way. How much, in as best you can, in your personal life, how much before you, assuming, before you came to know the Lord, did you understand sin? Before you even thought about God, the Bible, how much did you understand about sin? Not much. We don't. When you got saved, assuming you got saved, you received the Lord as your Savior, what did you understand a little bit? That you needed a Savior. True? Now, how much did you understand about sin then? Well, you understood a little better, but not much. We're saved because we need to get saved because of sin, my old nature. That's true. But as you go forward, what's sin going to do? Sin's going to go and awaken your heart. That's what it's going to do. Verse 18, 7 and 18, you know it. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not in no good thing. That you didn't know when you got saved. That you didn't realize that you are totally bankrupt. Even now, for me to understand, for us to understand, to be totally bankrupt, there's no thing in my word, brain, word, thought, deed, in any from head to toe, there's no thing in my human body that can please God. I need to know that for real so that I don't trust myself. I didn't know that when I got saved. I learned that. I'm learning it. You're learning it. In me dwelleth no good thing. What does the sin do? Sin is the problem. That's the problem. And I need to understand that. Do it another way to help you. 1 John. 1 John, what do you know? In 1 John, we walk in the light as he is in the light. And verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What would you always have to say as a believer? You're a sinner. You have a sin nature. You never, 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 never say, I don't have a sin nature. I'm better than, never, never. I'm righteous, never. Because that isn't anything of our righteousness, it's what? It's God's righteousness. It isn't my goodness, it's his goodness. Always. Therefore, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So it's a wonderful thing to realize your bankruptcy, to fall down and say, God, I can't. What a wonderful education. That's how you start learning. Because you aren't trusting yourself. You're learning to trust God for real. And that's what you have to do. All the rest of it, you know, we do the law. Do you understand the law? The whole world doesn't have the law. They have the right to choose God or not choose God and believe. The law was given for that, to help them. So we don't have the law, except there's the law within our hearts, etc. Romans 2. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. I hope. Thank you.